Today, for better or for worse, the focus today and over the next 4 weeks is on story, God's story and our story. And I want to look a little bit at these different passages and the songs that we've sung, the readings that we've had. But first, I'd like to invite you, and there's, like we said, there's paper in the back and there are pens if you want to write some things down. But what I want to invite you to do is to think about what are some of the marker events in my life, your own life. And as we, I'll say just a few words and then let you have some time. But in what we will see in these different readings and these call to worship and so forth is that what Israel is doing and what we are doing in rereading these stories is we're marking key events in God's journey with God's people. So the one song, Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, it talks about creation. It goes through the order of creation, right? The 7 days are there. It talks about the skies and the waters and the fish and then human beings and then calling a people. And so the whole story is there of creation. In the reading, just as a little quiz, did anybody notice which stories of Israel were in the reading that Mary Don just read? Chapter 26. Remember, it talks about being in the land that the Lord has promised. And then it says, when you bring your offering, your tithe, you're to go to the priest, whoever is serving, it doesn't matter. It's not important who the priest is. But you go to that priest, and when you present it, what does it say in verse number five? Yeah.
There before the Lord your God, my father was a wanderer in Aramea.
Who is that? It's Abraham. And then what happens? What's the next thing?
Went down into Egypt with a few people.
So what does that skip over? It gives the detail of Abraham being called, right? And that's a summary of saying being directed towards the promised land. But does it get to the promised land? Was Egypt the promised land? No. It completely, this retelling of the story completely jumps over crossing through the promised land and has you where? But in Egypt. And then what happens? What? You're jumping over the whole thing. The Egyptians mistreated us. Huh? What? I wasn't reproaching you. I was just saying, what does he say there? He says that they went to down to Egypt and they prospered there. But then they were treated evilly. And what happened? They cried out. They became enslaved. They were enslaved. And then they cried out to God. And what did God do? So if we had the faithful chalkboard here, we'd say, in these stories, we've seen creation, we've seen call of Abraham, we've seen and promise. We don't hear anything about the flood, we don't hear anything about all kinds of stuff. And then we hear down into Egypt. So We skip over Joseph. We skip over all the explanation of that. But we go down into Egypt, and there's prosperity. The benefit of Joseph, right, is that prosperity. And then the next line is what? They enslave us. And then we cry out to God, and God comes to our rescue. And then what happens? They're brought out of Egypt. And then what happens? To a land of milk and honey. Oh, finally, the promise to Abraham is being realized in front of them. And then what are they supposed to do? What's their response to that? Obey the Lord's command. And what? How do they obey it? By bringing the offering. And how is that offering described? The first fruits. It's not the last fruit, right? I mean, like I feel like, you know, when we look at the Cain and Abel story, right? That's the first time sacrifice is given there in the Old Testament. And in that story, what's the difference between Cain and Abel? What happens in the story of Cain and Abel? They give a sacrifice, right? Cain does what? He gives what? Cain, it says, took some of the fruit. Or no. Yes, Cain took some of the fruit. Not the first fruit. Cain did not sit there and watch those grains of wheat just as they tipped and said, voila, that's for God. No, he didn't sit there and clip one after the other going for the, he said, this one, these are the first ones that are ready and I'm going to clip those. No, he waited till days later. Weeks later, maybe, I don't know. But he came with some of the fruit of the field. What did Abel do? One of the butchers on hand, what did he do? He took the first fruit he took the best parts of the first fruit, right? So it's not, in my mind, it's not really about animal sacrifice. It's about how was the sacrifice viewed by the donor? Was it simply a basket full of anything? Or was it something that was chosen? And I feel like that interpretation is justified in this passage, because it says they came and they were instructed to bring the first fruits. You know, it wasn't that they waited till, you know, we can, you know, many of us live payday to payday. Right? You know, so you sit there hedging your bets on whether is this going to fall due in time or not? What does it mean to give of your first fruits in this kind of economic context? Yeah. If you give as soon as you get that check or deposit or whatever, there's a sense in which that's giving the first fruits. You know? Because that's the fruit of your work, your labor. And so it feels a little different with us because it's just money. And we don't necessarily have the relationship to money as we do with other things. Physical fruit of our labor. So anyway, I'm getting into the sermon. what I wanted to do is just touch on those examples, that there are these in the way that Israel thought of itself. They began to do these litanies of events, of God's intervention in their relationship, that God met us in the desert, provided for us in the wilderness. God created the world. God called a people. God brought them to this promised land. And so when you start doing this summary of the faith of Israel, you have the story of creation. You have the story of separation or fall. We talk about it. And that story of Cain and Abel ensues. And there's the story of Noah, and there's deliverance, the covenant with Noah. There are all these little stories that go throughout the Old Testament, but are primarily found in the first five books. And in those stories, it's marker events. So there was the time down in Egypt, and then that became enslavement, then deliverance, and then promised land. And in the transition to the promised land, what else came? As they were wandering in the wilderness, what happened? Manna, golden calf, you know? And then the Ten Commandments, right? So Ten Commandments, that whole story gets in there. So those are all events along the journey. Now what I'm asking here right now, though, is to think about your own journey. And when you think about your faith, how your faith has brought you this far, what are some of the events that come to mind for you? And just take a few moments to write them down. What are some of the highlights and possibly even the lowlights? Because sometimes it's through the low experiences that we learn the most. And I want you to keep your little piece of paper or get another one. And because I'd like you to keep a hold of it for next week, for the next 4 weeks, because you might add to that story. Right there in the little basket, you walked right past it. Sorry about that. I'm going to give you about 3 more minutes. I was just thinking about the fact that God's deliverance is something that we don't just experience once, one time for all. You know, salvation is not something, you know, you can say yes, certain parts of one's salvation, it's once for all. But for most of us, we experience little lesser events day by day. And that draws me always to the term Ebenezer. Do you know that term? Does anybody know what Ebenezer means? It's used in Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel. And it talks about the people of God being in Mizpah, and they're getting ready to move forward, and the Philistines come, and the Israelites have stopped, they've made an altar of sacrifice and so on and so forth, and then the Philistines come to attack them, and God intervenes. He stops the attack. And then it says in verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Jeshana and named it Ebenezer. For he said, thus far the Lord has helped us. So the people of God there, as they were on their way, as they were on their journey, that gets viewed in a sense of clean deliverance if you gloss over everything, but yet there were little places along the way where God had to intervene in order to bring about God's purposes. So there were all kinds of little Ebenezer events. The Baptists use Ebenezer all the time. Ebenezer Baptist Church, I think Martin Luther King's in Atlanta was Ebenezer Baptist Church. But anyway, it's used over and over again to say, thus far, the Lord has brought us. We're marking this place. We're marking that event. And for me, it encourages us in our journeys also to think about what are the events along the way that has brought us to this place? And then how do we mark those events in order to honor them, honor God's purposes in our lives? You know, we honor our wedding anniversaries, we honor our birthdays and things like that. But we put those kinds of things in the bulletin. But what about our faith story events? What do we do with them? Do we, as families, do we as couples celebrate faith markers where God delivered us in one way or another? You know, one of the ways that I pass on the memory of my dad, which I've probably failed to tell the story because we never sit around with the intention of telling the story. But one of the things I do in honor of my dad is I make waffles, usually on a Saturday morning, like we did yesterday, made waffles, and Dad always had two special ingredients in the waffles. Actually, four special ingredients. Anybody have any ideas what they might be? Bananas. My son Julian does banana pancakes, but not waffles. No, we didn't.
Butter,
cinnamon,
vanilla.
Cinnamon. Somebody said cinnamon. Oh. Food services lady, cinnamon, good job. Cinnamon, vanilla, pecans, no, but blueberries. Dorothy puts blueberries with lemon curd, okay? But that's in addition to my dad's ingredients. Lots of butter. These are the assumed things. What's not assumed? What's not assumed in this? Is almond extract, so vanilla, almond extract, cinnamon, and then one more spice. There you go, nutmeg. That's that was taught to me a long time ago, because that's the only thing, one of the only things, Dad barbecued and he did waffles. As far as the kitchen was concerned, that was the sort of the limit of what he did. But he had his twist. Now, I don't know whether his mother did. What he didn't tell me is where he got this tradition. What he did tell me was that you need cinnamon, you need nutmeg, you need vanilla, and you need almond extract. And that makes the best possible waffle. Right? And so that's what I do. And you know what? What do you think? Every time I make waffles. Exactly. Exactly. So part of our gifting, both to ourselves and to the future, is to do things in remembrance. You know, this is Communion Sunday. We thought about Communion Sunday. But we're going to have it a little later in February. But do this in remembrance of me. What are the markers in our journey that we do in remembrance of what God has done with us? and how God has brought us to this point. I've kind of just hopped over everything in this so far, but that's basically the gist of what the sermon is. The point is that here in our songs, we often sing our songs without thinking about what's being said. But in the Praise the Lord, Sing Hallelujah, and I didn't choose the song. I didn't say, you know, we need this song. I don't think I said I need a creation song, but that's what I wanted. I wanted a creation song. And so in the call to worship, that's what I chose. We gather as pilgrims. This isn't a creation one, but we gather as pilgrims, right? That line, wandering Aramean. Then we come seeking the cloud of your presence. What's that? What's that a reminder of? The wilderness, right? Cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. You know, we come seeking your pillar of fire to light. Shine in our hearts with the light of your love. So it goes from those ways that God demonstrated God's presence for the wandering people of Israel, who were very confused, right? They said, let's have a golden calf and let's make one, right? And let's sacrifice to it as our deliverer. Even though they knew that there was this pillar of fire and the cloud and the manna. And yet they said it was this golden calf that they themselves made. But we don't remember and thank God for the story of the golden calf nearly so much as we recognize that story helps us to see that we fall away so quickly. We turn ourselves, what it tells us is just how much we need reminders constantly along the way to help us not only remember, but stay focused. Stay focused on what God is inviting us to do. Because what does God want? God wants us to be a testimony. God wants us to be a witness. God wants to, you know, read in the sacrifice. What do they do with the sacrifice? It says, I removed the sacred portion from the house. I gave it to the Levites. So the Levites are those who work in the temple, right? The resident aliens. Who are the resident aliens? I was a resident alien for 14 years. You know what that is? I was in Ontario for 14 years, from 4 till 18, right? And I was a resident alien. So I was a foreigner living with full rights and responsibilities in this foreign land. That's the only time I've been called an alien. Actually, I've probably been called an alien before, or more than just then. But anyway, so the resident aliens, who else gets part of the sacrifice? What? Yes, it says orphans, it says widows. In accordance with your entire commandment that you commanded me, I've neither transgressed nor forgotten any of your commandments. I've not eaten of it while in mourning. I have not removed any of it while I was unclean. I have not offered any of it to the dead. I have obeyed the Lord my God, doing just as you commanded. Look down from your holy habitation from heaven and bless your people, Israel, and the ground that you have given us, as you have sworn to our ancestors. And so then it repeats. It says, this very day the Lord your God is commanding you to observe these statutes and ordinances. So observe them diligently with all your heart and with all your soul. What does that remind you of? How are we to love the Lord? And who else? So it's the resident alien, it's the orphan, it's the slave living in your household. It's all of those people are supposed to be provided for in the sacrifice. So as we honor God, we don't simply go through the motions. We don't simply give, you know, we hand off this tithe or whatever bit, and we say, okay, now I've done my due diligence. No. We have to think about our community. We have to think about those around us, those along the way. Are we in right relationship with them? Are we not only serving each other, but serving the widow, the orphan? You know, and that's where I think about the daycare as being a fabulous entry point for the community, because so many different families are a part of this school. You know, there's so many. So that brings us into contact with people we don't normally see. At least I don't in my coming and going. So anyway, we remember the past in order to honor where God has brought us. And the concluding piece is the song that you have the words for. I think we sang it one time before. Nothing is lost on the breath of God. And I had Pat print it out so that we could have the words and music before us.